Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Sure, we can go on.
Why?
This just in to the Steve and Johnny newsroom. TikTok is down.
No!
I don't know if we can go on.
You know where to go when you need a friend. Well, just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a real thing. TikTok is down. We will talk a little later tonight with Dr. Patrick Christman about the TikTok saga and the options and who knows what else.
It's very painful for those people who make big bucks.
And they make big bucks.
Yes. And in fact, we'll talk with Patrick about why you make more money on TikTok than you do on other apps that are available to you, because it's like three times as much.
And I can't answer the question. I don't, because there's TikTok, there's LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube.
But I'm going to simplify it, and we'll get Patrick to talk about it tonight. The algorithm for TikTok exposes you to more people than you would be exposed to if you're on, I guess, YouTube. You have to follow that person, or I would have to seek you out. And
I think on some social media platforms, you can pay more to, for example, on Facebook.
Yes.
If we wanted to reach more people on Facebook, because basically Facebook has the lock. And they're saying, okay, yeah, Steve, you can see Johnny. But now if you want to see Fred and Wilma and everybody else, give us $4 million.
Well, actually, it's still like $5. But yeah. I've never done it because I'm happy the way it is.
Yeah.
I only have so much time in the day. Speaking of which, on our way into work tonight, I did take pictures, and I have posted those pictures. And
of the Heart of Chicago Motel.
Yes. As I said, we were driving through the Heart of Chicago. Not really. We did not drive through that hotel. We drove past it on our way in. Hi, Bob, keeper of the big plug.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, are you getting ready?
Slightly amused, you know.
slightly. We're working up to being fully amused by the end of the show.
As you know, when Steve started the show, I was just glad we don't have roof access because, you know.
I'll drink to that.
And Ron, thank you for, in your stead last week, thank you for introducing us to Rob.
Oh, he's a great guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd never had the chance to hang out with Rob, and we had some fun talking about some rock and roll music and stuff like that.
He's a vinyl collector.
And
He goes to all the record shows and such. And more than that, he grew up listening to us, so...
Well, there you go. Got to be a good guy right there.
You got points, yes.
Yeah. But importantly, we want reviews. You had a 4 or 5 movie Saturday last week.
Yeah, we did trim one of the movies off at my son's request because he thought it might be a little too much. But we still saw 4 movies in 2 days, and they were all top-notch movies. I mean,
really?
They were all award contenders, yeah. So
The Brutalist, your take on that was...
Probably the best movie of the year.
Really?
I mean, it's the most ambitious. It's an epic. It's kind of like, I don't know if you know Paul Thomas Anderson. It's kind of like a Thomas Anderson movie. 3.5 hours, 15-minute intermission, and it's just epic. I mean, it follows this architect from his days as a... very briefly, as a Holocaust survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's down on his luck, and then he's saved, and then he's down on his luck, and then he's saved. So it's up and down, and it's just gripping, emotionally gripping, yeah. Mm. So it's unlike any other movie out there right now.
I'm surprised that you had a 15-minute intermission, because I remember we talked with the guy who owns the Highland Park Theater, and we were talking about liking intermissions in movies, and said he said he wanted to do that, but contractually they wouldn't let him. So I wonder,
because the intermissions would shave off one showing of the movie before the end of the day.
Yeah, well, this was built right in there. I mean, the screen is for 15 minutes. It says intermission, and then there's a countdown. So.
But do you get the dancing hot dogs and dancing buns during the intermission?
We did not. It was just a slide with, you know, with a photo, but you knew it was an intermission. So the lights went up, but the screen still stayed, you know, lit and on. So
what theater were you at?
The River East 21, right over here on Illinois Street.
Because you're the first person I've heard mention that.
Yeah.
And I'm pleasantly surprised. I mean, if you take in a 32-ounce Coke, you need an intermission.
I welcomed it. I was fine with it.
Yeah.
And I used the intermission.
Okay, too much info.
TMI.
I walked around.
I bet you did.
And can I just say that Adrian Brody has the saddest eyes in the world.
Yes, he does.
And they're so perfect for this role. The first time I saw him was in The Pianist.
I just rewatched that after this, yeah.
You know, he said he can't watch it.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
It is.
He said he's never seen it. He can't watch it. And that's the first time I was just like, oh, just look at his face. I just want to cry.
That is an unblinking portrait. I mean, it's very Schindler's List. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It had been so long since I'd seen it, I forgot a lot of the detail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew overall what it was about. I'm going to see Adrian Brody's performance in that, and he was fantastic. He won the Oscar for that, and it's a crazy good movie.
As
The Pianist.
Yeah, oh, agreed. You have an assignment.
Yeah.
Since you are seeing so many of the movies, and we'll probably see all of them that are going to be nominated for an Oscar, we are going to ask you to take off your newsman hat the week before Oscars, and we'll talk about what your choices are.
And we're going to talk with you, and we'll have my brother Leon, as we did last
year. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yes, let's do that.
So we'll do a little Oscar movie preview guessing game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can talk about movies all night long.
Good.
So what were the other movies you saw last week?
I also saw September 5.
Yeah.
The movie about the ABC sports coverage of the 1972 Munich Olympics, where the Black September took hostages. the Israeli athletes hostage.
Okay. Hey, help me, because I remember Rune Arledge was the guy who was running ABC Sports at that time.
Right.
But who was the, because I was watching that, and I can't think of the name of the sports commentator who took off his sports hat and just did some wonderful news
coverage. Jim McKay.
He
brought it down to a human level.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they needed. And Rune Arledge was not very long afterwards promoted to the head of ABC News.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at the time, it's a big dramatic point there. It's like, you're sports. You can't be covering a news story. Where, you know, so you've got to throw this back to New York. And he's like, I'm 100 yards away from where it's happening. This is the best place to take care of it.
At that time, wasn't Rune Arledge doing, was it called the ABC's Wide World of Sports, which was a great weekend sports show?
Yes. So... But there's just so much inside. It's right from inside the control room for the whole story takes place. So there would be some people who would think that, well, you weren't telling enough of the story about the Israeli hostages and the terrorists. And what I didn't know, they said in the movie, so I'm thinking that it was true, that was the first time that American TV, American news reporters referred to anyone as a terrorist.
Really? I didn't know that.
Because they picked up on that from what the European press was calling them. So what should we call them? And let's go with terrorists. And also the first time they had that network news bug on there constantly for the cameras, because they had to give up their satellite time to CBS. Which they didn't want to do. And that's another plot point. That's inside baseball stuff, too.
Yeah.
So they're fighting over that. And so to kind of own the story, they put the ABC logo on all their coverage.
Hmm.
Even though it was being broadcast on CBS as well. So it's a very good, well-done, well-written, well-acted, dramatic story.
I want to see that.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. It's great.
I'm wondering if many people want to see it, though. The title doesn't do much to sell it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that there probably are folks that are going to say, well, it's a documentary. If you lived it, you think you've seen it all. And if you're too young, maybe you don't get the impact of it.
And even though I lived it and saw it, I like the inside baseball aspect of this.
Right.
I would like to know a little more about what was going on behind the scenes as they had to instantly shift gears,
make decisions. Yes. Were there many people in the theater?
Yeah, it was. So it was well attended.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, good. And that kind of answers my question, because I'm thinking the title, when you said the title, I thought, well, it's my birthday. What's the movie about?
It doesn't. There's no drama in that title at all.
Yeah,
September 5th.
Interesting. Okay.
And let's see, what else did I see? I saw a complete unknown, but I saw that the week before, but I want to throw that in there because that's certainly a contender, and that's a great movie. I was really impressed with everything about that.
Hmm.
Yeah, we're hearing lots of good reviews about that.
I want to go to the movie with you sometime.
Oh, anytime,
because
sure.
Because I like coming out of a movie and talking about it.
I do, too. That's the best.
Yes, and one of the things that we've done for 40 years is when we go to a movie, we don't talk about it. When we were working full-time in particular, we don't talk about it when we get out of the theater. We wait till we go on the air, and then we find out how each other felt about the movie. And oftentimes I'd go, what? You like that? Or he would say, I can't believe you wanted to stay for that movie. So that was kind of fun, instead of, you know, hashing it out and this.
But I remember there was one movie that we talked about instantly after we saw it. Natural Born Killers, because I wanted to walk out of that movie 10 minutes into it. I knew I was going to hate it. And we figured, okay, we got to stick around if we're going to critique it. And by the end of the movie, I was right. I hated it.
Yes. And all the way home, you kept saying, I don't know why I stayed for that. And I said, because if you're going to talk about it, I hate when people talk about something and then you say, so when you saw it, well, no, I didn't. I left.
Yeah.
And they've got this, you know, ironclad opinion about what they didn't actually see. So I made you sit through that. And it was dreadful. I agree. It really was.
What were the other two movies on your watch list?
Nickel Boys.
Oh.
It was a story about I guess it's based on fact, about a reform school in Florida.
Yes.
And how the African-American boys were mistreated. And it was really good. I did not like it. It was a point of view story, mm-hmm. Where the camera was the basically the actor's head, so mm-hmm. you didn't see the actor. So it was kind of gimmicky in that yeah. way.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out to be a good story, and you know it stuck the landing, as you can say.
Mm-hmm.
So it redeemed itself in the end. But boy, it was really frustrating to go through that. What was the other movie that we saw? Oh, we were going to see The Seed of the Sacred Fig, but we punted on that one because that was another 3.5-hour movie.
Wow.
And we'll just have to watch that some other time.
And again, that's a title that tells me nothing about the
yeah,
movie.
I don't
well,
have
it's
a clue
about
that.
Seed. It's a seed.
It's a seed. Okay.
No, it's a political thriller
yes.
set in Iran. And it's a foreign film, but I'm not sure which. It was like French and German. And another country in there. It might have been Canada. So it's like a collaboration, but it's set in Iran.
Hmm.
And it's a political thriller, which is pretty much all I knew about it. And I'm fine with that. I like mm-hmm. to go into movies not knowing a lot about what I'm
yes.
going to see, except that, hey, it's being hailed as a nice work of art.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yes. We're going to take a break. Yeah, it's a shortened show. We're here till 2 o'clock, but we got a lot of ground to cover. So stay with us here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're going to have that person on the show with us when we're down in Florida. That is a local Panama City Beach talent. Her name is Tracy Mick. And we were just turned on to her by our friend Tom Hoots. And he's going in the studio with her, and when we get down there, I'm going to be involved in producing a couple of things with her. I think she is terrific.
That song is a little Billie Eilish.
It is a little bit.
Because the first time I heard it, I thought, sounds like maybe a new Billie Eilish tune. I like some of the things that she does where you really hear her voice. That's a lot of
yeah.
echoey things going on there.
You can find her on Facebook. It's Tracy, just like it sounds, Tracy Mick.
Mm-hmm.
So do a search for Tracy Mick on Facebook, and you'll be able to see some of her videos. Julian, what'd you think?
I thought that was delightful. That took me to another place.
Mm-hmm.
Very ethereal.
She is a real talent, and one of the things that I like about her, she doesn't do vocal gymnastics.
Right.
She sings. And some of the things that she's done with just a guitar, just some extraordinary stuff. Bob, you were listening. What'd you think?
I liked it. Yeah, it was really mm-hmm. good.
And that's just an example in the panhandle of Florida, there is some wonderful, wonderful talent. And we have rescheduled. We're going to be in Florida from the 13th of March
right.
to the 10th of April.
Yep. In fact, we've got a listener who's tuned in vacationing in PCB tonight, and she said, I could have stayed in Chicago. There's snow predicted.
It is, the forecast for, I believe, Sunday through Tuesday.
Yes.
For the panhandle, it's snow and ice
the
and
sheriff
20 degrees.
Has put out a warning.
Yeah.
If you have to drive during that period, don't drive more than 20 miles an hour.
The Bay County Sheriff.
That's not going to happen.
Put out that warning. It's just.
Because as a friend of ours said, he was there for a very rare snow event. And he said people who have these four-wheel drive pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles think that they can just barrel on through. And there's no salt and there's nothing down to treat the roads and the bridges are frozen. And usually they actually close the bridges because they're so dangerous.
And there is a main bridge that connects Panama City to Panama City Beach. It is, about a half a mile bridge?
Yeah, because you can walk back and forth for a mile.
And it goes up pretty steeply.
Yeah.
And when they have anything resembling ice, the whole bridge is just shut down.
Sure. Or else you go careening off, you know, into the Gulf.
And you have
the Gulf of America?
Yeah, that one, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I was just checking.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with that other Gulf.
Yeah, another Gulf.
Right.
I wonder how that's going to go over. But
don't get me going.
to our listener who's listening to us in PCB, I don't know what to tell you.
Bundle up.
People say, why aren't you there? It's January. I say, because it's cold. It's not always like this, but it's just kind of a bone-chilling cold.
And if you take a 20-degree day in Panama City Beach, compare it to a 20-degree day in Chicago, Chicago feels about 50 degrees warmer.
Yeah. Very weird. We also have a listener in Zurich, Switzerland tonight. Gentleman tunes in every week from his home in Pinehurst, North Carolina, but mm-hmm. he's in that part of the world for work. And I believe he said he's in between Munich and working, and so he's just hanging out. And where did you say he should go, Bob?
Sprungli.
Sprungli?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
S-P-R-U. Well, it's you with umlaut.
That's right. Okay. I love an umlaut.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
it's a sweet shop, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Is it?
Awesome.
Really?
In Zurich, there's not a lot. It's a banking town. So of all the times I went there, Sprungli, I would have to go there every time because my family was like, ooh, get the macarons or get the...
The good chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
The Swiss chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, our good friend, when you come back,
yeah.
you could be sending us something from Sprungli.
Sprungli.
Sprungli. Yeah.
Yep.
Easy for you to
say. Yeah, that's right. That's Bob. He's going to go keep the big plug.
We got a lot coming up, so stay with us at WGN Radio. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're not using the introduction we usually use for Gino Salamone because some of the things we're going to talk about tonight are not as upbeat as a lot of the things we are usually talking about with our showbiz machino friend. You can see him on Fox 6 in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been hanging out with Gino for years. And
years and years.
Gino, it's good to talk to you, but I'm sorry we have to talk to you about the loss of a friend of yours and a friend of a lot of baseball fans, Bob Uecker.
Yes, Bob Uecker, who is known for so many things, not only being a former major league player, being an announcer, starring on Mr. Belvedere, the Miller Lite commercials, the Major League movie where he came up with that phrase, just a bit outside, which people repeat over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was close to 100 appearances with Johnny Carson.
Yes.
He just loved Bob Uecker.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. You have a great picture on your Facebook page, and there you are in the midst of Bob Uecker and all of these great Milwaukee types. Tell the story about the statue to honor Bob Uecker. I was pleasantly surprised to read that you were the guy that first floated that idea.
Yes, you know, there was one outside, and they were building the new stadium, and I said, we need to do, after the commercial where he said, ooh, I must be in the front row, and then the usher moves him to the last row
right.
of the stadium. I said, we need to put a statue of Bob in the last row. So I met with brewery executives, and it happened, and the day of the unveiling, all those ex-Brewers Hall of Famers, Robin Yount, Raleigh Fingers, they were all there, and they were up by the statue, and Bob yelled to me, Gino, this was your idea. Get up here. So there I am in the midst of all these great Milwaukee Brewer players, and just before the photo was taken, Gorman Thomas, who was an outfielder, great home run hitter, said something so filthy to me, and that's when the picture was taken. So you see the laughter
yes.
in my face, and Gorman saying something horrible.
But the look on your face is priceless. You look like a kid going, just pinch me. I can't believe I'm sitting here with these guys.
But, you know, it was so great that Bob would have two statues. And, you know, the fact that he could have worked in any market, in any big city, and he chose to stay in Milwaukee all those
yeah.
years. And the great thing was, too, you would see him pulling aside a player and all these young players who forged friendships with him. You know, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
And it was so great to see that. I mean, he was 90 still calling games and still sounding great.
Wow. Wow. Somebody said it, and I thought this was so appropriate, that his passing was a lot like your dad's best friend dying.
Right.
You know, yeah, and I thought, you know, that's interesting, because your dad's best friend was always there. He was always welcome. He always made you laugh, made you feel comfortable. Yeah, that fits.
Well, and the fact that I would walk around anywhere in the summertime, and, you know, a garage would be, somebody had the radio on, and there was the voice of Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
It was this comforting voice that we've had for so many years. It's going to be very strange next season.
Yeah.
Now, one of the fascinating things to me was, in all of the articles or things we saw on TV or heard on radio about him, nobody had anything bad to say about him. Everybody
right.
was so positive about him.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. No, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that wasn't known, he did so many wishes for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Really?
He made those come true. Yes, a lot of things that he did just on a quiet basis. He did TV commercials for the Milwaukee Admirals hockey team, which helped legitimize them in this city. You know, he was just mm-hmm. somebody who really liked to help out. And did it on many, many occasions.
Yeah. I always got the feeling that he was kind of at a pinch-me place in his life. Like, this is a really cool life that I have here. And that's why he was just a nice man.
And also, I never had the feeling he was trying to be a sports announcer. He was being who he was, and his
that's
personality
right.
came through.
Yeah.
And there was a salty side to Bob, which I loved, having been in the booth, where he would say something, press the cough button, and say something so shocking, and then is he saying that on the air? He had this great ability to do it, and I witnessed it on a couple occasions, and there are some tapes circulating of the other side of Bob, which
Ooh.
I think he would get a kick out of people knowing, too, that, you know, he had a devilish sense of humor,
yeah.
and he used it to really shock people who were watching him in the booth.
How did you first meet him, and when did you feel that the two of you were genuinely friends?
You know what? I would not say that we were genuinely friends, but I met him through the radio station that I worked at, was the FM version, and he was the AM version, WTMJ Radio,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, met him through spring training, met him through charity events, but he would do something that he would always call you either buddy, or he would add a Y to the end of your name. So he couldn't call me Gino-y, so I was buddy. And so we're about 6,000 other people who were known as Buddy. But you know what? It just felt good hearing that out of Bob Uecker.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm going to change the subject on you for a moment.
Okay.
I was trying to remember how many years we've talked on the radio, and I'm thinking we're talking 25 years now.
It wasn't.
Oh, I think at least.
At least.
Didn't we first meet you when you brought some celebrities down? You were helping them on a tour. They were promoting something, and you brought some people down to
some TV
the
guys.
Yeah, but before that, it was Pumpkin Fest.
Really?
Was it really?
Yeah, Pumpkin Fest, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I had forgotten about that because I'm just thinking about what you were doing there for a while, taking television stars from the past and bringing them around. And Adam 12, for some reason, comes to mind.
Yes.
That you
right. It was at that time, it was Ray Kort's Hollywood show that came to the Chicago area.
Okay.
And would bring in a lot of celebrities. But I was a listener because I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You were my friends on the way to work every day.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I wanted to meet you. I came down for Pumpkin Fest. And, in fact, Larry Schreiner was brought in on a bulldozer, I think,
yes.
at Pumpkin Fest
yes.
that I was
at. At Gobert's Pumpkin Farm.
Yes.
And Larry, Larry was in the big...
He was
the
in
shovel.
Like the shovel part of the
yes,
I remember that.
The bulldozer.
That's right. Yes. Oh my gosh! So you then started joining us at that crazy hour of the morning, as you were up and getting ready to go to work, and we would talk about what you were doing in the showbiz world.
Right, and I started doing movie junkets, and then I would tell you the stories of what happened.
We're talking with Gino Salamone, and we're talking. About not only Bob Uecker, but also the fact that Gino travels back and forth to the east, to the west, and frequently spends some time out in California.
Right, right. And your gig oftentimes takes you on junkets, right, Gino, to L.A.?
Right.
So how has what's happened this past week with the fires, I mean, what are you hearing?
Well, on a personal level, I have two friends who lost everything.
Really?
One friend, yes, was the set dresser for the junkets. He would come up with the backgrounds. So he had this great taste and put together a house with amazing furniture and all memorabilia and just this beautiful house. He got a call. He had 10 minutes to get out of his home, grabbed his two dogs and a shopping bag full of papers, and went back the next day, and it was burned to the ground.
Oh,
everything
gosh.
Was gone.
Wow.
Everything. But he has a very good perspective. And it just makes you think, what would you grab
I know.
Out of your house if
yeah.
you had, you know, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would do.
You know, it's this past week I've been thinking about a go bag, putting together a go
yeah.
bag that has
yeah.
all of those important things. Because if you've got 10 minutes, where's the key to the lockbox for the passport?
And after midnight, we're going to be talking again with Patrick Crispin. And Patrick joined us last week. And Patrick and Christine and Joseph, they had to evacuate. And they have a go bag.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking more and more that
not
that's
a
not a bad idea. Now, Johnny has known for years that if something is going on, and if we have the time and we're safe, I have one guitar that gets grabbed and goes with us.
Good.
Yes.
But I will tell you that I was out there and when fire started, and we could smell the fire inside of the Four Seasons Hotel where the interviews were taking place.
Mm.
And that day I was invited over to, and I hate seriously sounding like this name dropper, but... to Sidney Poitier's house. His wife had asked me to come by. And I went over there, and she had just had hip replacement surgery. Her daughter was there. She wanted me to see Mr. Poitier's office. And I walk in, and it is just unbelievable. It's what, you know, you always thought a star's home would look like. And I thought, what happens if that happens here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two Oscars that have to be pulled out. There's these amazing photographs and all these honors.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's just a really frightening thing. And here's the other thing. How long is this going to take to, first of all, can you rebuild in the Palisades again? Maybe not. Can you get insurance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a nightmare. And then Altadena, which was not a well-off community like the Palisades, those poor people lost everything as well. It's just heartbreaking
and
seeing these neighborhoods completely gone.
Some of those people had their insurance dropped before, shortly before the fires.
And insurance is going to be a big problem.
Oh, my gosh.
But the only point of comparison we have is Hurricane Michael in the Panhandle. And that was how many years ago? And we still, as we go down to the Panhandle, we can drive, and there are still devastated areas that have not been rebuilt. And I can only imagine how long it's going to take to try to rebuild California.
Thousands of structures. Yeah. And I remember after Hurricane Michael, my dad's condo had roof damage, and we contacted the insurance company, and they said, sorry, there's no coverage for this because that was a wind event.
Yeah.
We said, well, wait a minute. There was like storm surge. Nope, that was a wind event. And I bet you money that's going to come up in California that it was a wind event, not a fire event. And that's going to make it a different take as far as the insurance company is concerned.
Yeah.
Do you know, I have to ask you, because we were wondering about this earlier this week. Have you heard anything about Dick Van Dyke? I know he was initially rescued, but what's the latest?
I spoke to his wife, and they are doing amazingly well now. A gift he gave her was a little camper, and it looks like a classic camper. And they did not have to evacuate during this last disastrous fire, but they had no power, mm-hmm. and they had no gas. So they were living basically out of this camper, and she sent me a picture of 99-year-old Dick Van Dyke sitting in a lawn chair with his leg crossed outside of this little camper. And she said, you know, the big concern was that Dick gets cold, and the temperatures were cool, but there was no heat. Thankfully, they had this little camper, and it really kind of saved them. And now everything's back up and normal, but the fire was not in their part of Malibu.
Wow, because he had experienced a fire back in December when the neighbors had come to rescue him when they realized that the fires were getting so close to his house.
Gino, have you heard anything about what this has done to movie production?
Well, it's definitely, things are slow, and they're, I mean, grinding to a halt as a result. You know, fortunately, a lot of movies are shot out of Los Angeles, not for Los Angeles' sake. That's tough on their economy. But no, I mean, even the decision makers things are just at a stop right now. And I'm imagining that within the next week or so. But I'll tell you, you know, our mutual friend Julia Sweeney, who was on Saturday Night Live, she and her husband were on a vacation. They came back and she said, she lives near Paramount Pictures. She said, you would not believe that we could not tell at all that anything had gone on. The way they flew in, they didn't see it.
Wow.
And everything was going as normal in their area of Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing because we tuned in to Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and his first night back to work was really heartbreaking. Did you watch this grown man stand there and tried to hold back the tears as he was talking? He said he had something like 19 people living in his house and four dogs because they'd opened up their house to the people that they worked with that had lost everything. Now
I sent a note to Henry Winkler, who I've become close with, and you know, I didn't expect an answer, and he responded right away, and he said, you know, it's unimaginable that so many people that he knew, he and his wife knew, and that their children knew, have lost everything down to the dirt.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the way he phrased it.
Wow.
They've
delayed the Oscar. Well, actually, it was the Critics' Choice Awards were delayed.
Yeah.
And then the nominations were not live. So I guess that's not the most important thing at this point in time out in L.A.?
No, and but Jean Smart, you know, Emmy winner this past year, she said, you know what, maybe we don't need these awards this year. And I kind of hoped our organization would not do them because, you know what, it's not what matters right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is, I'm trying to think of the name of it, but there is a major benefit that I want to say is happening in about 2 weeks with Billie Eilish, and I'm trying to think of some of the other people, but there's
I think Lady Gaga is
and I want to say that's in about 2 weeks.
But then I look at people like Beyonce, who $2.5 million she donated. I mean, that is so nice to see, but I mean, we're talking billions of dollars here to help people.
Yeah. But, you know, symbolically, it is important. And financially, Taylor Swift donated to the Pasadena schools.
Yeah.
And our Joseph is out of school for the whole month of January because the schools have to be cleaned. His school is still standing, but they say, we don't know what kind of toxins are inside this building after everything burning around it.
And, you know, I don't know if you've seen the picture. It's kind of a graph that has been circulating on social media. It's comparing the California wildfires to the Chicago fire, and the California wildfires 8 times larger than the Chicago fire.
The great Chicago fire. Yeah.
Unreal. Yeah, no, it just makes you wonder how many people are going to leave there forever. Because if you go through this once in your life where you lose every possession, and as Henry Winkler said, down to the dirt, do you even want to be in that area again? Because it's still dry, rain hasn't fallen, and this could happen very easily, you know, again. And with the Santa Ana winds.
If you do rebuild, how do you rebuild? I saw one thing of one house that apparently survived, and it was in one of the most devastated areas, but it was basically like a really mostly concrete structure.
But maybe that's the solution.
My thought was, though, if you own that house, who wants to go back to that house where there's absolute destruction as far as you can see in every direction? I mean, that is pretty devastating too. We've got a house.
Right, we know Billy Crystal, Martin Short lost their homes. But, you know, I think of those, they can afford to go somewhere else and rebuild. It's those families in Altadena who, you know, probably can't. And then where do you go with all those people?
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, we thought of you because we follow you, and you're going back and forth to L.A., and I just know this is something that's never happened before.
Yeah.
No, and we flew over the flames. I was on a 6 a.m. flight on the Wednesday that the fire started.
Really?
And we flew over one of those, and you saw this huge fire. This was not just a little blaze somewhere. It covered, you know, a great portion of the mountain that we flew over.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that we have to catch up with this kind of talk, but I'm glad anytime we have an excuse to talk with you, Gino. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it.
Appreciate
always
talking
to you.
And we haven't said it, so Happy New Year, Gino.
Okay. We can hope for a happier New Year.
Yes. Thank you.
As Gino Salamon, hopefully we'll talk to him soon about things.
Like showbiz.
Yes. we got to take a break. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Paperback Writer. Yes, sir, oh, madam, will you read my book? It took me years to write. Will you take a look? It's based on a novel by a man named Lear, and I need a job, so I want to be a paperback writer.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio playing that song for a couple reasons. One, I love it.
You love to play air guitar with that.
But it was just that was a really great period for, of course, when wasn't it a great period for the Beatles?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really one of my favorite Beatle periods. But Paperback Writer, okay. Here's the transition, boys and girls. So I wonder if that paperback writer was writing on a typewriter or a computer or possibly cursive?
You mean longhand? You mean curly Q? Jointed? I think I heard it called jointed lettering. I thought, what? Jointed lettering.
Or, as we had to practice at Our Lady of Peace.
Palmer?
The Palmer Method. Okay, Julian, does the Palmer Method mean anything to you?
Straight over my head.
Okay. Imagine you would be, there you are sitting at your desk. The teacher passes out these sheets. On these sheets, there is written script. You have to spend the next hour with your pen tracing that written script to learn how to write in cursive.
Right.
Day after day.
And who was Palmer? That, because it was always
no idea.
Palmer penmanship.
It was the Palmer Method.
Yes. Yes. Gino, did you... Gino, listen to this. I'm looking at you, Julian.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
You met Julian, though.
That's... Thank you.
Or Buddy.
That's Buddy. Did you have penmanship when you were in school?
I've never had penmanship. I'm just terrible.
Well... Can I just share this? The first time I handed you an envelope with your name written on it, you gave me the best compliment. You said, "Oh my gosh, this is downright artistic." And I was like, "Yes, go me." I was in a good mood.
Don't look at me.
I know who's guilty of that. You and I were having an intelligent conversation about my great handwriting.
And my chicken scratch.
Okay. You have perfected your signature, though, right?
Yeah, I've gotten better with that, especially signing these logs for, you know, hours on end.
I don't think I've ever seen your signature. You need to you need to share that with us.
You're not going to steal my identity, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
All right, here's a crazy story. I used to be a nanny. I was 13 years old. The people that hired me thought I was 17 years old. That says so much about where I was at 13. I was hired. I had a great gig. I was working for the Bert Bertus family, as in the Dick and Bert combo in Chicago.
As in Chicken Man.
Yes. And so I was traveling in just a wonderful circle, taking care of their baby, because... stars would come to the house, and it was a fabulous place to work, and I loved that life so much that...
How much did you love it?
My handwriting actually emulates Bert Bertus's handwriting.
Okay.
Because I would practice. I wanted to write just exactly like him, because it was very cool and very arty, and yet his wife, Carol, was a teacher. I didn't want to write like her, because it looked like everybody else's, but his... And I would watch him, like, autograph, and I'd think, oh, yeah, I could do that. So at 13, that's what I was busy doing, was trying to perfect my signature so that it would look really cool and different.
My handwriting is always kind of going back and forth. If I'm in a hurry, it's like...
Mm-hmm.
And
I can do that perfectly.
Yeah.
I can do your hand spot on. You look at it and go, did I sign that or did you sign that? I go,
my dad's handwriting was wonderful.
Yes.
And my brother Lee's handwriting was also wonderful.
And your brother Lee wrote his book in longhand.
And anytime Lee does a blog, he doesn't use the computer. He writes it out, yellow legal pad, longhand, and then transposes it.
Yes. Well, this past week, I learned that knowing and being able to read cursive is considered a superpower. Now you can...
When did that happen?
Julian, you can read cursive, right?
I mean, if it's not my doctor's prescription, sure.
No one can read any doctor's.
Well, it was deemed a superpower this past week because the National Archives have more than 200 years worth of U.S. documents that need transcribing, and the vast majority of documents from the Revolutionary War are handwritten in cursive. So that's your loop-de-loop. It's very, very arty. I mean, I've looked at some of this because, honestly, I'm going to volunteer. They're looking for volunteers who can read cursive, who would be willing to look at these documents and translate them, type them up on the computer as you're reading the document, And then they will have it in the National Archives. Suzanne Isaacs, who's with the National Archives Catalog in Washington, D.C., said reading cursive today is a superpower. She's part of
That's just crazy.
I know. She's part of the team that coordinates the more than 5,000 citizen archivists helping the archive read and transcribe some of the more than 300 million digitized objects in the catalog. And they need volunteers.
But even if you can read cursive, that has to be difficult, because if you're taking a document that goes back decades or centuries, cursive styling was so different. I mean, if you go back to the John Hancock days.
Look at his signature, all squirrely, curly, cuely.
We cracked up. John Williams was talking a little bit about this, and I think it was John and Steve Alexander, and they got into this whole thing about it would be a great Saturday Night Live bit of John Hancock trying to fill out umpteen forms and taking forever to do this beautiful swooping cursive signature.
Yes. There is no application. If I've got your attention, you're thinking, I have this superpower. You can sign up online. There's no application. You just say, I can read cursive. I would like to take on this volunteer.
But how are they going to check you? What if you're taking this historic document and you're saying...
They're taking that chance. They're taking that. They're not going to go back and check to see that what you wrote is legitimately what was on that paper.
Well, then it could all be faked.
You just pick a record that hasn't been done. You read the instructions. They're asking you to devote maybe a half hour or an hour a week. And they think eventually they'll get through the 300 million documents that they need to transcribe. How sad that they need to transcribe them, though. That I'm like, really? Why can't we just learn to read cursive? But no, being able to read the longhand, that's what we used to call it. Are you writing that in longhand? Yeah. Being able to read longhand script is a huge help, because so many of the documents are written that way. And I looked at some of the documents, and some of them are really, really hard to decipher.
But how are these documents archived? They're in some digital form.
They're in a digital form. Right. So when you sign up and say, I would like to be a volunteer, I know how to read longhand, I know how to translate this, I have a computer, I'm willing to give you an hour of my time a week, then you will pull up a document that hasn't been transcribed yet, and then you set about to do your transcription of it.
But it's not just translating the cursive. Sometimes it's translating the meaning, because things mm-hmm. were phrased differently at different periods of time, too.
Yeah. Don't assume that schools are not teaching cursive, because that's not the case. Many of them don't, because they feel that, you've got a computer. Why would you need to know how to do longhand?
Because when somebody pulls the plug and the computers all go down, you want to be able to communicate somehow.
And if my theory is, if you don't know how to do longhand, Palmer method, whatever you want to call it, at least get a good signature. That's you. Master that signature. Find someone that you really adore, like I did at 13, and emulate his signature.
It was one of our bosses here at WGN.
Oh, and Dan Fabian's handwriting was amazing.
That's not the one I'm saying. Somebody who their signature looked like just this long line.
Oh, yes.
Who was that?
Oh, that was previous management, which said so much about that person.
Oh,
it was just a line.
Was that who I'm thinking?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah.
It was literally, I think it was a little loop and then a long line.
Exactly.
And like, really?
Yep.
Oh, well, that's nice, Julian. You did that quickly, I can tell. I like the way he dotted his I with a long
But now, do we
swoop.
Know that Julian did this, or was this artificial intelligence?
Well,
the world may never know.
Your S is a number 8, I'll tell you that, right? But you knew that. This is good.
Thank you.
Except it looks like your first name is Johan.
All right. Find a new producer. Thank you.
It looks like a J.
You need to take a picture of that and post it on the Stephen Johnny Facebook page.
Your name looks like J-O-H-A-N.
They call me Johan.
You can see I'm going to be great transcribing these archived.
Yeah.
Yes, Johan went down to the store. And it won't even be a store. I'm going to try, though. I really am. I'm going to give it a shot. And if
you're very trying.
Steve, remember, I can sign your name perfectly. California passed a law in 2023 requiring that cursive or joined italics, leave it to California to come up with joined italics, be taught for the first through sixth grade.
What the bleep are joined italics?
It's penmanship. It's longhand. It's cursive.
Why does someone call it joined italics?
I don't know. And I'm telling you,
does that mean everything has to be italicized?
No.
Why joined italics?
It's the misuse of the word italics. And this is an educator saying this. I don't understand it. But if you're young people in your family don't know longhand, you might say it's worth giving it a shot. Just, you know, kind of play with it. Look at it as something retro to learn, something fun.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come in handy someday.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're not paying you if you want to do any of this transcribing of the archived records that go back to the Revolutionary War. It's just kind of fun. I'll report back because I've signed up to be a volunteer, and I'll see how long this lasts. I may look at my first one and go, I don't have time for this. I got to move on. So that's the rest of the story.
Just come on. Just come on, y'all. Come on. Just come on.
Good stuff.
Say that you want me. Say you want to please me. Say come on now. Say come on, baby.
I like that one.
Come on, honey. Say come on now.
Who is it? That's great.
It's the Tramps with two M's.
Nice.
Ooh.
Well.
Keep that in high rotation.
High rotation.
Yes.
Yes. It's time now for our shout outs. And by the way, I was busy posting Julian's signature. Is that okay, Julian?
Great. Now everyone's going to be able to sign my checks.
Johan?
It does look like Johan. So if you want to check our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show.
And click on the rest of the story, and you will see the article that gives you the link to the National Archives if you want to offer up your time to do some transcribing of some of these longhand, cursive, Austin Palmer. We just learned off the air, thanks to Bob Fukuda. He tells us it was Austin Palmer, the dude that had great handwriting, so they just named it after him.
Okay.
But it's time now for our shout-outs, and let me start with Barb Larkin, who is listening to us up in chilly Milwaukee. Carol Tyler Roberts is in PCB, and she said, I could have stayed in Indiana. There's snow in the forecast.
Yep.
Greg Borgman tuned in. He says, are you two only available on podcast and not live? That's interesting, Greg, because you're right here on our page where we give you the rundown of the show tonight. Diane Vasquez, one of our great listeners, tuned in. Patrice Tentara. Roy Phillips is tuned in on his good old AM radio. Also, Celine Ellers is in Chicago. Yay, Chicago, listening in. Mary Gold is listening in Tinley Park. Janice Curatobi is on the northwest side of Chicago. Our buddy Bobby Danos is tuned in from out in Sammich. Roger Eastman. Oh, Steve and Johnny, Chicago treasures. Thank you, nice. Roger. We were talking about the natural born killers last hour. One of our listeners called us natural born thrillers, Steve and Johnny.
Okay.
Thank you. Phyllis Wagner, Kathy Abnor is in Peoria. Robert Patterson, he says, you drove by the Rose Hill Cemetery. Tom Holland said, you drove by my house. You could have stopped for coffee. He doesn't have a gig tonight, so he was tuned in. Dave Krimnitzer is tuned in. And let me scoot over here because we had a bunch of people that signed in online, including Gordon Larson in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Laura and Cotton are listening up in Wisconsin. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Carol Tyler Roberts. Oh, I mentioned her. She's in PCB. I'm sorry, Carol. It's going to snow. Scott is in PR, South Dakota. Don is in Portage, Michigan. Eddie is in Joliet, Bonnie Butternut, Wisconsin, Wally Powers. He's the dude that's in Zurich, Switzerland tonight listening in. Stacy's in Algonquin. Mary is in Oak Lawn. Norb and Janet are in Pittsburgh. Bonnie and George, our good listeners, are tuned in Elgin. And let me scoot over here real quick because we got a whole bunch of places where people are signing in. And every week I try to do a quick round robin to find out where everybody is listening. And tonight we have 16 states that have checked in, including Donna Youngheim in Oak Lawn and Charlene Goodman in McHenry and Susan Roche in Wheeling and Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida. Tom Kazmarek is in Highland Park. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Boca is tuned in. The Siegenreich Realty Group is listening to us in 70 degree temperatures. That's right. Rub it in. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, curled up under a warm blanket. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park. Nancy Nosek.
Did we share with the class the cool Christmas present we got? Speaking of curled up under a warm thing, we have this. One is a dog, one is a cat. You take them and you put them in the microwave, and then you put them on your stomach.
And warm you up.
To warm yourself up.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Who needs a hot Who needs a hot water bottle when you can have a hot cat or a hot dog on your belly? Does hot water bottle mean anything to you, Julian?
Hot water bottle?
Yeah. Big red rubber hot water bottles? I guess not.
Okay.
I'm so happy you're with us because I get to educate you.
And these are important things.
Yes, because off the air.
These will be on the end of the month test.
Off the air, he learned about what it means when motels and hotels have 1 hour. Never mind. Peter Jukubowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Judy B's in Oakland. Ellen and Maria is in McHenry County. Burr Ridge is checked in. That would be Tom. And Sharon Malone is in
Ridge.
Yes, Kenosha. Jan Reinhart is in the laboratory, as she is every week. Nancy Tomachevsky is in West Allis. Roy Phillips, Priscilla Gilbert-Stegg, Patricia Human is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Gary Gray is in New Lisbon, Wisconsin. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Memphis is tuned in.
Memphis.
Nashville is tuned in. And I'm sorry if I didn't get to you, but we're rapidly running out of time. And we're going to talk tech next hour and catch up with our family in Pasadena, Dr. Patrick Crispin.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I keep imagining some of the people, because I hear from some people that say, you scared me. I thought there was a problem with my computer.
I know.
We are going to talk tech with a man who is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. More importantly, his title is Joseph's Dad.
Yes.
And that would be your Dr. Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Woohoo! How's everybody doing?
Good. TikTok is the big story tonight. Before we get there, though, We continue to get questions from listeners saying, how are the Crispins of Pasadena doing? So let's start there. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are absolutely fine. In fact, actually, we went to Disneyland today to get Joseph out of the house for a little bit, and it was really busy.
Was it really?
It was very busy today. But we also drove through some of the fire areas today, obviously a little further south. We didn't want to go into where the affected areas were. And one of the things that was just heartening was pretty much at every major intersection, there were food drives and water drives and clothing drives. People had come from all over Los Angeles and were there to be able to provide resources for people of Altadena and Pasadena. It was just really wonderful. In fact, there was one, and we sent you a picture of it,
yes,
where Los Angeles, it said, I think Chicago sends its love.
Yeah,
it was just like, this is so nice to know that, you know, after the incredible devastation that happened here, and I don't think the human brain can comprehend how big this was and how many houses got destroyed. To see the outpouring of support, it's just been wonderful.
If you don't mind, I'm going to post a couple of those pictures that you sent me this afternoon as you guys were driving around. And I love the big cardboard sign with love from Chicago praying for L.A., California.
Yeah, we're going to post that. And, Patrick, we were talking about this a little earlier with Gino. Do you know any of the specifics about, I want to say it's 2 weeks from now, there is a benefit concert with Billie Eilish and Lady Gaga and a whole bunch of people?
I know that there's a concert. I don't know the specifics of it, and I think we're going to find out a little more about it in the next couple of weeks. But again, so many people need help and resources, and this is something that's going to be lasting for years. So I'm really happy to see this happening. Johnny was talking about the Pasadena Educational Foundation earlier. Steve Ballmer donated to it. Taylor Swift donated to it.
Yeah.
So this has been absolutely fantastic, the outpouring of support.
We've had a lot of people asking us, do you have any particular website location that you would recommend that people can be sure it's not a scam, but their money would go to help the people who need it?
There are a couple. Actually, if you follow Taylor Swift, she made a list of all the different sites that she had done looking at, and like the World Central Kitchen and Pasadena Educational Foundation. You can look at hers. I'm going to sing the praises of Pasadena Educational Foundation. But again, Taylor Swift is probably going to be the best person to follow.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
She's got great resources.
And they're calling it the Fire Aid Concert, by the way, going back to all of the aid concerts that we've had over the years. And it's just, it continues. This is going to be like a 4-day concert, the way it's growing. It's really hard to keep up with
it. I won't at all be surprised if it becomes initially a pay-per-view thing, which I'd be in favor of.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Yeah. Sure. My favorite charity that I've researched so far is the World Kitchen. I'm just amazed at what they do for not just food, but hot meals for the first responders. That just blows me away that they're able to do that, to pull that together for literally thousands of humans that are out there working. And they say, you know what? We're going to bring them a hot meal. Very impressive.
World Central Kitchen, if there is a disaster anywhere in the world, they're the first people to show up and set up kitchens. And it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Okay, let's shift gears, if we may, into the world of tech.
Tick-tock.
Yeah. Well, 9:35 tonight, Chicago time, it went dark. Honestly, Patrick, I was a little surprised. How about you?
No, I think we kind of called that this was going to happen.
No, we called it for tomorrow. We said it was going to happen. I feel for the influencers who've been scurrying to get all their stuff together. And all of a sudden,
they shut it down early.
Yeah.
They shut it down a couple hours early. If you have TikTok on your phone, it's still there. It just doesn't work. If you try to go to TikTok.com, you get the world's most passive-aggressive message.
Same
thing in the app. It says, a law banning TikTok has been enacted in the U.S. Unfortunately, this means you can't use TikTok right now, or for now. We are fortunate that President Trump has indicated that he will work with us on a solution to reinstate TikTok once he takes office. Please stay tuned.
Yes.
Here's the thing. There was a law that was passed earlier this year unanimously making it unlawful for companies in the United States to provide any of the services to distribute, maintain, or update TikTok unless U.S. owners were put in charge of the platform. And remember, this is actually an offshoot of something that Dr. Donald Trump did back in 2020. Mm-hmm. Trump tried to ban TikTok by executive order because all of the K-pop fans had used it to embarrass him by organizing fake signups for his Tulsa rally. And then he said, okay, well, I'm going to get revenge on TikTok. And then what happened over the last year or so is TikTok has been really pro-Palestinian. And that caused people on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and the Republicans, to come together. And this never happens in America. Unanimously ban it. This was a unanimous law passed. Supreme Court heard the arguments on the 10th based on First Amendment. And the Supreme Court decided, no, I think Congress has the reason to ban this, and it's absolutely right to do this. Trump says he wants to delay this, but the reality is that's just not how laws work. Mm-hmm. Only Congress can fix this. This is not a rule. This is not a, you know, some sort of policy or something. It is a law of the United States of America that TikTok has to be owned by an American company, or it can't operate in America.
Let me hit the pause button for a second and hold you on that point. Trump wants a delay, but I've heard conflicting opinions. One saying only Congress can handle this and ultimately fix it. Does the president, whoever the president is, have the power to delay this order?
The law, as it was written, lets the president extend the seller ban date by 90 days.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But only if he can certify to Congress that there is a buyout in progress. In other words, that ByteDance has agreed to sell to an American buyer.
Okay.
That just hasn't happened. So after that, unless there's some sort of progress going on to say, okay, there's going to be an American in charge of ByteDance, there's nothing to certify. And the law doesn't allow for the president to say, nope, we're going to stop. It says, at this point in time, TikTok has to sell itself or it can't operate in the United States. And the fact is, in the last 268 days, ByteDance hasn't even tried to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So China isn't going to let them. So what's ended up happening right now is TikTok is down for everyone. If you're one of the 170 million people who use TikTok, you cannot use it. The app is still on your phone, but if you open up, just not going to work. And the reality is, regardless of what Donald Trump says, this is the thing that is causing concern. The law, as it's written, imposes a fine of $5,000 per U.S. user for entities that violate this prohibition.
Whoa.
So what that means is that if app stores like Apple or Google or hosting services like Amazon Web Services allow you to use TikTok, they are on the hook for 170 million users times $5,000.
Wow.
No president can come in and say, okay, what, we're not going to actually enforce that. So you're right. The law says that you're on the hook now for $60 billion, but we're not going to collect that. There is no way that Apple or Google or Amazon is going to sit there and say, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Won't take the
chance. I know the law says that we're going to, there's no general counsel that's going to say, you know what? Because even if the Trump administration says, okay, we're not going to collect the $60 billion fine, you have no idea what the next administration is going to be and whether or not they're going to come back and be vindictive and say, you know, the law said this, you broke the law.
Mm-hmm. You
pay
owe.
Up, buddy.
Yeah.
So regardless of what the president says, and again, I could be wrong on this one, but regardless of what the president says, I think this doesn't come back on Monday. I could be wrong, but again, the law is the law. I know the president is, and I'm not going to get political here, but the president is allowed to do certain freedoms that you and I don't have. But I'm not sure that people acting on behalf of the president are given those same freedoms and aren't going to be held to the same liability. So the president is immune for prosecution. I can't guarantee you that Amazon and Google and Apple aren't if they're following what the president tells them to do.
Do you think it matters that the man that's behind TikTok will be on the dais on Monday? The guy from China is going to be there for the inauguration ceremony?
Even if he's on the dais, if the president doesn't have the power to do it.
But I'm just wondering if they're going to...
The law is the law. But again... We could be going into a world where the law isn't the law.
Well, this is true. Yeah. Yes, sadly.
But right now, the law says this, and there isn't anything in the president's power to do an executive order saying, okay, I'm going to break this law. Mm-hmm. The law was written very specifically that says there has to be a U.S. buyer of this. There's talk about Elon Musk doing it, but the problem is that nobody in ByteDance is saying that they want Elon to buy it. Oh. And we don't know if China is going to allow it to be sold to Elon. So you can't postpone it for 90 days because there's no buyer. And mm-hmm. the law says there has to be a buyer.
There has to be a buyer waiting in the wings.
Let me take you in a different direction just for a second. I believe it was on Blue Sky. I saw a post involving Mark Cuban, and he was quoted as saying that he would be willing to back someone using some form of, I don't remember the technical term he used, but apparently there is a form of Blue Sky's structure that would allow for creation of a TikTok competitor, and Mark Cuban was saying he'd be willing to finance this if somebody wanted to do it. Have you heard anything about that?
I have, and there's been a lot of talk about different competitors. Obviously, Meta is going to take a lot of people away over on Instagram and on Reels. You've got YouTube with YouTube Shorts. But the reality is TikTok had really great algorithms to be able to hook you in there. Most people were watching it for 55 minutes a day and seeing videos that they really wanted to see, and there's nothing right now that is as good on the I'm targeting you and I'm going to give you exactly what you want level as TikTok right now.
Is it the algorithm that makes TikTok so financially lucrative for those influencers who use it versus a YouTube or any of the other apps out there?
Because everything we're hearing says you just can't make as much money anyplace else as you can on TikTok.
Yeah, it's a chicken and an egg thing in that... What happens is you go and create content for TikTok. And if it's unique content and content and it's engaging, TikTok is going to pay you $4 to $8 per thousand people who are going to watch your video.
Ooh.
YouTube might give you a quarter, like 25 cents,
what?
Or maybe up to $4. So you are making exponentially more money over there. And the reality is, as TikTok is targeting the people and people are staying there for 55, 58 minutes a day, they're going to be seeing more and more content. Therefore, more and more creators are getting more and more money. So the algorithm drives the content drives the algorithm.
Okay.
But there's a lot of money that's being made, and a lot of money is being left on the table right now.
That is amazing. Patrick, a couple people want to know, what kind of money are we talking about? Is that what's scaring potential buyers away from TikTok, that it's just like crazy money? Or do we have any idea how much it is?
Well, part of it is it's not for sale. The other thing is that the estimates I'm seeing are $50 billion. That's billion with a B. And that doesn't include the algorithm. That's just $50 billion for the company, but not the algorithm.
What?
Why is the algorithm separate? I thought if you're going to buy
it. Apparently, it's the secret sauce, and it's sort of like you can buy KFC, but we won't give you 11 herbs and spices.
So you're kind of buying half the widget.
That's
pretty much
crazy. Okay, a listener says, I have no interest in TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram, or similar things, but YouTube. And even YouTube is becoming a trial with their censorship. Now, have you heard about that? They're cracking down.
I'm not aware of YouTube censorship, but I can certainly look into it. I'm a YouTube premium subscriber and a YouTube TV subscriber, and I pay so much money to Google now every month, and I love YouTube. And YouTube actually is, right now, where most people are watching. Instead of watching television, they're not watching ABC or CBS or PBS. They're watching YouTube.
I wouldn't call this censorship. That the only thing that I'm aware of with YouTube, anytime we post videos, you have to specifically say, was this video made for kids or not? And
if there's any copyrighted music.
Yeah.
If there's any copyrighted music, my Lord, they're quick to take it down.
That's true. Somebody's watching them.
And actually, I've had some videos where there was copyrighted music. They didn't take it down. But they indicate, yeah, this is copyrighted music. So I think they put in a few more ads or something to pay whoever it is that is the copyright owner.
Yeah, they could basically say that you can't monetize it. We're going to give the money from your video to the person who made the music.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Listener says, how is TikTok able to pay so much more than other platforms?
The answer is, again, when you have somebody stuck on your platform for 50, 60 minutes a day, every day, just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, you get to put so many ads into the feeds and generate so much revenue from advertising. But the thing is, they don't look like ads. They look like a creator creating content, but you're looking at it and it's, no, that's actually an advertisement that they paid TikTok to put on.
And the creator is also benefiting because they're getting paid to make it look like that they use that kind of deodorant or this kind of dirt in their garden.
Or they go to this hotel or this restaurant or,
Wow, that's a lot of work, though. I keep thinking about, I'm like, gosh, everything you do, you're thinking, ching, ching, this is money. I better make this work for me. That would get old after a while.
I don't think I want to be an influencer.
I decided that, too, a long time ago. But again, we weren't born 1996 to the present, because that 60% of the TikTok users were born during that period. Patrick, sit tight. We're going to take a quick break. There is got to be a hack to talk about this week. And last week, the subject of AOL came up. We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got many friends in Nigeria. I got a girl in Belarus. They say, send me your credit card numbers and everything will be cool. I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got firewalls and passwords. I got usernames and codes. But my laptop's got a virus. Now I've got a cold. We'll stand to
man. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin, Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And it's time, boys and girls, for This Week in Hacks. What you got, Patrick?
So there is a hotel management platform, Otelier. This is not something that you and I would go to. This is something that if you run a hotel, you use this. This used to be called My Digital Office. And they announced this week that they suffered a breach after threat actors got into its Amazon S3 cloud storage and stole, hold on, millions of guests' personal information and hotel reservations from well-known hotel brands like Marriott, Hilton, and Hyatt.
Whoops.
So this is a cloud platform that's used by about 10,000 hotels worldwide. and it manages the reservations, the transactions, nightly reports, invoices. This thing apparently started back in July of 2024 and kept going on until October. The threat actors, the people who broke into the system, have claimed that they've stolen 7.8 terabytes of data. That's a lot of data. So millions and millions and millions and millions of documents, including the nightly hotel reports, shift audits, and accounting data. And some of the personal information includes hotel guest names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses. Now, the good news is, if there is good news, passwords don't seem to be included in this. Billing information doesn't appear to have been stolen. In other words, your credit card information wasn't part of this. However, the information is now out there, and you can go to Have I Been Pwned, P-W-N-E-D, and you can see if you were hacked and or included in this breach. The big thing to remember is now that they have your hotel reservations from basically all of the hotels you've stayed in the last year, be prepared to see a lot of fake things from hotels saying, hey, we know you stayed with us last year. There's a problem with your stay. We need to get your credit card to be able to
we just got a thing from I want to say it was one of the Hilton hotels.
It was,
and it said we need to update your information. I looked at it, and right away it was a red flag. I don't know why. I just said, no, I'm not going there.
Yes,
you can go to Hilton.com, you can go to Hyatt.com, you can go to Marriott.com if you need to update your information there. But on emails right now, if you get any email from any hotel saying, you know, there's a problem with your account, you've got to, it's a scam. It's got to be a scam, because all of this information is now in the hands of the people who broke into the system. So Hotelier is the hack of the week. It's and we're going to be talking about this every time on the air, the new hacks.
So rule of thumb for the duration, be very careful, and for the most part, don't click on links that you're sent in an email.
Right. And if somebody sent you an email that has something, oh, this is really urgent, you need to do it, it's like, yeah, I'm going to ignore that. No. Or if it's saying, if I've got a problem with Hilton or something, and I'm getting an email from Hilton saying, oh, we need this information, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to close my email. I'm going to go to Hilton.com, and I'm going to log into Hilton.com. Yep. If they need to get in touch with me, they're going to get in touch with me through their website, not through email. So you just got to be careful about that.
Should we be concerned about our email addresses being out there?
Your email addresses are out there. Everybody has them.
I know. So what is this?
Everybody has them.
What is this? Have I been pwned? And what a weird word, P-W-N-E-D.
What does that mean?
It's owned, but it's somebody typed the word owned really fast. And you, instead of typing owned, their finger slipped to P-W-N-E-D.
So, what?
Literally true.
What?
But it's sort of common thing on the internet is to say that you've been pwned. P-W-N-E-D is owned, but if you just mistyped it,
wow,
pwned, and it kind of stuck.
Okay, well, I just put my email address in for what it's worth, and
you are going to be in. You are going to be in how many breaches? I don't even want to know.
No, which is good news.
Oh, good.
No pwnage found. No breached accounts and no pastes. Subscribe to Search Sensitive Breaches. So this is the website that you mentioned, Have I Been Pwned, P-W-N-E-E-D, which is so weird. But you thought that there's
a song in this.
Yeah.
For example, I'm Mike Crispin at gmail.com. I'm in 16 data breaches.
Really?
Yeah. So.
But nothing to worry about.
Patrick Crispin. But no, I mean, my address is out there. It's
okay. I'm going to do one more because we have multiple. Oh no!
I have another one.
Yep, we've been pwned.
I've got 1 in 8.
4 data breaches. Oh, wait a minute. That says 4 data breaches. Yeah. That doesn't just mean our email is out there.
It could be more information.
But I have to pay something, right, to get more information?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, man. Have I been? That's just stupid. P-W-N-E-D. So for fun, kids at home, just type in, have I been pwned?
Have I been pwned? It's like basically type owned, but badly.
With
have your finger go to the wrong letter.
Oh, golly.
See, now I start thinking about corn pone.
P-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Yes, as in cornbread. And when you make a pan of cornbread, it's a pone of cornbread. Apparently, the people who are behind it they look like normal people that are just out to protect us.
That's exactly what it is. It's a very trustworthy site. It's basically, if there has been a data breach, this is the site to go to see where... They will tell you if your information has been exposed.
So,
and they keep up to date with everything.
Bottom line, though, with this hotel breach, if you were in a hotel in the past year, you may very well get an email, as we did, saying we need to update your information. Do not click on that link, whatever. If you stayed in 15 hotels or no hotels, if you get an email from a hotel, go to them directly.
Go to the hotel website.
Don't click on the link. Just protect yourself just in case you are part of this whole big hacking. Wow. You know what's going to be big news, Patrick? If we have a time when you join us and there are no hacks to talk about, that's going to be news.
I don't see that happening in our lifetimes.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not like we have to look for these things. They're just like, oh, we're going to go with the biggest of the hacks from the past week. Listeners,
but what I can do... I could make it so you don't invite me back by doing things like saying, well... Did you know the Pasadena weather is 49 degrees, but the feels like temperature is 49 degrees?
you mentioned Disneyland earlier. A listener says, Patrick, do you know if the Disney hotels and cruises are a part of this hacking?
Probably.
I don't.
There's no official word.
I don't know if it is. I don't know what Disney uses for back of house management. Mm-hmm. Disney's kind of unique, so I'm not sure if they use Hotelier. We'll find out shortly. I mean, there'll be announcements eventually as more brands figure out what has been exposed.
Okay, we're going to take a break. If you don't mind, we need to come back and talk about something. And please, I do not want to hear your eyes roll when you're talking about AOL, okay? Deal? Deal?
It's still useful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
And you don't have to chortle as you talk about it, because we talked to a listener last week, and that generated a bunch of texts.
A wonderful long-time listener.
Yes, but texts and messages from listeners saying, oh, my God, nobody ever talks about AOL, and I can't mention it to my family because they'll laugh me out of the room. So I thought, okay, this is a safe place. We'll talk about it with Patrick. And so we're going to do that after we come back here on WGN.
You've got mail.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh, that just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
It does. That's the AOL You've Got Mail. So let me back up. And hello?
Hello?
What is that? We heard some pounding, like somebody was...
Was that your heartbeat, Patrick?
No, I'm sorry. I was typing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. So, AOL. First of all, we had a wonderful caller last week, Bob, who was our last caller. He's been a longtime listener. And earlier in the show, we had mentioned AOL and how, along with the, I want to say we have about 9 different email accounts. But one of them is a long-time AOL account, which we still use, still like. It is very secure. In fact, the reason we were talking about it is I was doing some research on something that for our second book, and I needed to find some information, and I was able to go back in AOL and find email that I had saved from about, 15 years ago. And it was able to answer a question I was looking into. But beyond that, we have found that AOL is very secure. People laugh at it, but it works just as well as many of the safest email options you have today. In the conversation with Bob, he was mentioning that he was paying for AOL. And my immediate reaction was, you don't need to do that.
It's catching. Trust me.
Yeah, are you catching my cough, Christine? But I did a little bit of research and found out there actually, for some people, there is a paid version that makes sense for some people. But if you're only using AOL for email, that's a different situation. So, Patrick, you've got a little more information you want to share with us?
Yeah, AOL is still around. There's obviously the AOL free email, and a lot of people use that, but they do offer some paid services. In fact, they have a whole bunch of different things you could choose to get. One of them, and some people choose to do this, is something called AOL Mail Plus, and it's supposed to be ad-free email. It's about $4.99 a month, and supposedly it keeps advertisements out of your email. Off the record, I think Gmail does a pretty good job, and Gmail's free. But again, if you want to pay $4.99 a month, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. They also have a service that they call Live Support Plus, and you can contact somebody at AOL 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It seems to be that it's support for AOL only. In other words, they're not going to help you with your computer, but they'll help you with AOL on your computer. Mm-hmm. That's an extra $6.99 a month. They do ID protection, and they, in fact, it looks like they're doing LifeLock and My Reputation and bundled those two together. That's $11.99 a month. There's a Data Secure, which is McAfee Multi-Access and a couple other things. That's $11.99 a month. And there's also Complete by AOL, which is both ID protection and Data Secure. That is $16.99 a month. If you are currently paying for AOL, my recommendation to you is, if you're happy, keep paying. I do think you should go into your AOL account and check your current plan and make sure that it's what you still want, that you haven't been, you know, kind of paying for something forever and ever and ever in a day because you forgot to stop paying for it and you don't need it anymore. But determine which services align with your current needs. And you may want to consider downgrading and contacting AOL and saying, you know, I don't need this service anymore. Can you turn it off? And am I eligible to get any sort of credit? Or do not cancel your account. If you're going to go and get a refund, get your refund first, then cancel your account. I will also warn you, and it's true with AOL, but a lot of other places, that if you sit there and say, this is terrible, you've been stealing my money, I'm going to talk to my lawyer. The second the word lawyer comes out of your mouth, they have a script they have to say, and they're going to say, I am so very sorry to hear that. We are required now to have you contact our legal department. Yeah. Let me transfer you, and I'm going to transfer you, and that's the end of the call. Mm-hmm. If you are going to downgrade and try to get a refund, don't threaten a lawsuit. Just be polite. And if you need a refund of something, AOL will give you a refund for like $15 for 14 days within 14 days of your initial monthly or annual subscription purchase or annual renewal. They'll give you a refund if you're interested. So a lot of people use AOL. They have a lot of different bells and whistles. I think the free email is good enough for a lot of people. And if you want to go and look at some of the other services, they've got a bunch of different AOL plans out there. Not a lot of people are using dial-up anymore. I think there's like a couple thousand people in the world that are still on dial-up. I remember when you used to get the AOL desk in the mail.
Right.
But now most people bring their own internet, but AOL has kind of transitioned over to free email for some people, and then extra stuff if you want to go and sign up for the extra stuff.
But probably if you decide that all you want is AOL email and you don't want any of the other bells and whistles, probably a good idea to contact them and say, okay, yep, I'm downgrading my account, I'm changing. And you can still have email and have a nice day and maybe get some money back. But contact them. And as Patrick said, be polite. And
be
just,
polite.
You know, have a nice day.
Well, a listener is freaking out because they've had AOL for 22 years. And so now they're doing the math, like five times a month, a year, 22. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we heard from people last week that thought they still had to pay for it or they would lose their email address that everybody under the sun has access to. And they don't have the desire to go to Gmail and then contact all those people and say, this is how you'll find me now. So, and I completely understand that. But if you're not using all those other bells and whistles that Patrick mentioned, you don't need to be paying $5 or $7 a month, and they will let you keep your email address, right, Patrick? That's what I'm hearing you say. You can keep it.
You will keep. You'll downgrade to AOL Mail without the I'm going to keep the ads out of it. Mm-hmm. But you know, okay, we all get ads in our emails anyhow. So
yeah,
there it is.
And I didn't know that's what you were paying for. To be honest with you, I thought you were paying for the other things like you know, some kind of tech support. In fact, the listener did ask, if you call them for a problem, do they have somebody that can walk you through tech?
Depending on what the nature of the problem.
But it's $6.99 a month for their service, and it only supports AOL. In other words, you can it's not like Geek Squad where you can say, I have a problem with my TV or I have a problem with my phone. It's I have a problem with AOL. Mm-hmm. They will help you with AOL.
Mm-hmm. But again, if you're just a basic user, you just have an email address, you can't expect them to give you tech support because that's not what you're paying for.
Right.
Okay, so that answers a listener's question because they said, well, what if I have trouble? I'm always afraid. I don't know who to go to. And I understand that. And the last thing in the world is you want to go to an 18-year-old who laughs hysterically when you say it's an AOL account. Right?
And it certainly, if you're applying for jobs and you have an AOL account, you should also get a free Gmail account and use that
you
Gmail
think
account.
So?
Because their hiring managers see AOL accounts and go, yeah, I don't know you're
really
technically proficient. They
what?
Do.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
There is a real AOL bias.
It's an ageism.
It's an ageism.
Yeah. That's really too bad, though. But I can see it. I wonder how I would feel if I opened up an email from someone applying for a job and then I was going to write back to them, even though I've got an AOL account and I like it. And in fact, when I go to the AOL app, I actually enjoy the way they gather news under the AOL heading.
But I'm not going to name them, but you would be surprised at the number of celebrities, many of whom have been on our show, that have AOL accounts.
Yep.
It allows them to hide, I guess. I don't know. Well, we have so many more things we could talk about, Patrick, but a listener did have a question. If I can shift back to where we started talking about the wildfires.
Sure.
A listener said, could Patrick tell us if La Cañada
Flint Ridge.
Was it affected by the Eaton fires? Do you know, Patrick?
It was not. We were actually in La Cañada Flint Ridge last night at Los Gringos Tacos. And there the people in the neighborhood who were the servers and everything, a lot of people lost their homes. The fire stopped before it actually got to La Cañada. So JPL has been saved and everything to the left of JPL is fine. So La Cañada is fine.
Okay. As luck would have it, people are coming in with questions about AOL. What are the implications, in your opinion, of AOL and Yahoo being under the same ownership?
No, because they've always kind of been together. I mean, Verizon owned all of this at one point in time.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
It's not a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
And the only implication that I'm aware of is, I want to say it was about, Patrick, you can correct me on this. Was it about 5 years ago or was it longer that the Yahoo groups went away?
Yeah, I remember that. And those are really wonderful. But
yes.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, we had a very active Yahoo group with a couple thousand people that were, that was the only way we could communicate with them, too.
Speaking of tech, we should mention again, and people who follow us on Facebook know this, but we now have a Steve and Johnny Blue Sky page.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be segueing slowly away from Facebook for any of a number of reasons. But if you want to follow us on Blue Sky and on our blog and other places, that'd be a nice thing.
Well, one of the main reasons why we want to have options is we don't want to wake up one day and we are considered non-human, that we don't exist, because that happened to a friend of ours.
Well, it happened to Rob Feeder.
Rob Feeder, right. Yeah. He woke up and he was told, we've taken down this page because you're not really a person. And it took a friend of his in media to write about this, and that person got approached and told, oh, he really is? Oh, okay, we'll put it back up there. They didn't contact Rob.
They to this day, they haven't contacted Rob.
They went to his friend who wrote about it, which was just really crazy. Okay, well, you guys, be good. Stay safe. I'm glad you went
Give
to Disney.
Give Joseph a hug from us.
Yeah, and I'm glad you guys got to go to Disney today, too. Thank you for your time.
We had a wonderful time.
Good. And you had a pickle, too.
We did.
I know you did. Now my mouth is watering. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick. A lot more coming up. Sports between the sheets, and who knows where else we're going to go. Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. A song that not many, if any, Chicago sports teams have been able to play this year. By the way, before we jump into Sports Between the Sheets, what was the website, blog that you shared with me, you're following? It's a wonderful blog. The guy is hilarious.
He's a local dude. I'll find it. Andy, Gabe, are you familiar with Pointless Exercise?
No, I'm not.
It's a blog by Andy Dolan.
You will crack up, Gabe.
Woo, he is harsh. He did a great recap of the Cubs convention when Sammy Sosa showed up. And he's a big fan of Sammy Sosa's, but I'm going to send you a link to this, Gabe, because you'll get you'll literally laugh
okay. out loud, Gabe.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we are the champions. That may very well be Notre Dame's song after the championship game, right, Gabe?
Could very well be, but I must say that this year's college football national championship game, I haven't checked at the latest lines in Vegas, but I know it's been back and forth all week because this isn't, normally when college football's championship game comes around, it tends to be so one-sided, but that is not the case this year. Notre Dame has been the hottest team in college football since they lost Northern Illinois back in September. Mm-hmm. They've won every game since then, and they've done it in pretty much dominating fashion, and Ohio State got into the playoffs, although many thought they shouldn't be there. And all they've done since they got there is dominate. And now these two teams are going to meet on Monday for the college football championship. Ohio State was last in the championship game at the end of the 2020 season, where they lost to Patrick Crispin's Alabama Crimson Tide.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Notre Dame's last appearance was at the end of the 2012 season, when they also lost to Alabama. Notre Dame's last time they won a national championship was all the way back in 1988 with Lou Holtz as the head coach.
Oh, my.
And Ohio State last won, I want to say it was at the end of the 2014 season, which was the first year of the college football playoff back when there was only four teams. So a lot of history is on the line in this game, and I think it's going to be a very close game. I can't pick a winner. It's too close, but it will definitely be. I could see this game by being settled by less than a touchdown for sure.
Wow.
And it should be, whichever way it goes, it should be a really entertaining game.
And not just that, but you take a look at what both teams did to get here. Notre Dame started the playoff by defeating one of this year's feel-good stories in the Indiana Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. You know, a team that's more known for basketball than football. And, came close to winning or playing in the Big Ten championship game this year. And then Notre Dame, took care of them quite easily. Then after that, they dethroned Georgia, which has won two of the last three college football national championships, and they were one of the favorites to win the whole thing this year. And Notre Dame made them look pedestrian. And then in the semifinals, Notre Dame had taken on a Penn State team that was arguably the most complete team on both sides of the ball during this college football playoff, because Penn State had played pretty tough to get to that semifinal. Mm-hmm. So Penn State was looking like, or should I say, by the time they got to play Notre Dame, they were looking like one of the favorites to win out and take this championship home. But obviously, that didn't happen. So Notre Dame is now in a position that they haven't been in quite some time. And then you take a look at Ohio State again. There were many who thought they shouldn't have been in this year's playoff. They got in. Mm-hmm. And they the biggest thing that stands out to me was what they did to two SEC teams. You know, the SEC was the dominant conference for the last decade, and this year that was not the case. Mm-hmm. They started off by making short work of Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
A team that can play with just about anybody, and then they ended up getting revenge on Oregon in the next round at the Rose Bowl. Oregon beat them during the regular season. It was actually quite an entertaining game to watch. They hung on for a 1-point win in the final seconds, and they made Oregon one of the best offenses in the country this year, made them look like anything but. And then what they did to Texas in the semifinal. And again, Texas was another team that many thought, oh, here's a team that can win it all. And
surprise, surprise.
Right. So basically what Notre Dame and Ohio State have done collectively is make the SEC not the dominant conference that they once were.
And neither has a home field advantage because they're playing in Atlanta?
Right. They're playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons play, the NFL. A lot of these college games are played on neutral sites. The only difference was for the first round of the playoff, it was home field advantage. So Notre Dame played Indiana in South Bend, and Ohio State played Tennessee in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. I just had a flash. The people who are traveling to this game are going to be driving through some hellacious weather.
Oh, you're right.
Because there's that winter storm that's affecting the southern states. And
it's going to be hitting roughly after Sunday.
Yeah, up until Tuesday.
Yeah, and for that game, I hope everybody is prepared for the weather. Normally, it's warmer down there this time of year. But, this is how big this this collective winter storm has become with the cold, and depending on where you are, snow and wherever else.
And if there's snow in Atlanta, that is hell on earth. It is just unbelievable because everything comes to a screeching halt.
Well, I remember it was about a decade ago when they got hit with ice.
Yes.
And the streets were solid ice, and because they don't have salt spreaders down there, because they normally don't need them, it just caused all kinds of problems down there.
Yeah.
And Gabe, I don't know if you heard us talking earlier, but our part of the panhandle, they're predicting potentially between 2 and 3 inches of snow and ice and
it's
cold.
It's Florida. It's crazy.
And they are just not ready to handle this.
Yeah. Gosh. I'm going to go back to Notre Dame, though, because I was reflecting on 20, 25 years ago at this radio station.
Yep.
This radio station was run by domers.
Yep.
Everybody that was in a position
Everybody
of authority.
In management. Was a domer.
Oh, my gosh. They would be out of their minds. That would be all this radio station would be talking about. I'm not kidding, Gabe. It was really funny because when they lost, you would see a bunch of suits walking around dragging their chin like, oh, no, we were at the Notre Dame game this weekend. It was really funny because you just knew.
I believe it because here's the thing. Even though Notre Dame gets a lot of hate around the country, they have a huge Chicago following. There's a lot of alumni here. And for as long as I've been alive, Notre Dame has always gotten Chicago media coverage, even though it's, 2.5 hours east of us.
That's true. Good point. Yeah.
It definitely does not surprise me because Notre Dame is still quite popular here in the Chicago area. And I don't see that changing. But like I said, there's a lot of Notre Dame hate around the rest of the country for a multitude of reasons, which will take me too long to get into. But here in Chicago, if you really think about it, especially when it comes to college football, Notre Dame is king unless, Northwestern and Illinois are doing really good. And although Illinois had a pretty decent season, they definitely did not have the type of season that Notre Dame has had so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the key question, Gabe. While you're watching the game, what's your snack of choice?
Well, considering the game is Monday and it's prime time for that game, it'll probably be whatever my wife makes for dinner.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what that will be just yet.
Yeah.
But I might format some ideas and throw that her way.
You know what I would love right now? I would love it doesn't have to be a lot, just a handful of Dorito chips with a sprinkling of cheddar cheese on top, microwave it. Boy, that would be good. That would be so.
Or a big tub of French onion dip.
Oh, yes.
Singing my song.
In fact,
Gabe.
I have it in the car right now. I have French onion dip and chips in the car.
Yep.
Just in case we break down, I want to have some sustenance in the car.
You want to hear a funny story because we're talking about dip. My wife had never heard of French onion dip, never knew it existed until I introduced her to it.
Bless her heart.
I could not believe it. I'm like, really? You've never had the deliciousness that is French onion dip?
What was her first reaction?
This was like early in our relationship. We went to the store, and we had bought some chips, and I was like, "Oh, dip," and she was like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Dip," and she's like, "That's not salsa," because she's used to eating, eating salsa,
right?
And I was like, "No, you've never had French onion dip," and she's like, "I don't even know what that is." I was like, "What?" So I introduced her to it, and now if we have it in the house, she'll nibble on it from time to time. So I kind of introduced her to that, and she actually likes it. So I'm very fond of the Dean's French onion, and yes. I got her into that. We have tried the Lay's French onion, but
make it yourself.
Johnny makes the best French onion dip.
You can buy French onion powder.
Okay.
And you buy your sour cream. But you want to get fat. You don't want fat free because it's too watery and
right.
it's just it doesn't have the right consistency. And you take out a scoop of it and then you pour your powder in that. Stir it up real good. Don't eat it.
And you want to get the Lay's ruffled potato chips.
And you want your dip to sit for maybe the night. Let it sit in the refrigerator overnight, and then it marinates, and it's really, really good. You'll taste the difference between that and the already prepared. And I do love the Dean's. I think it's wonderful. But we can't have it because it's not gluten-free because they add flour to it to thicken it up, which is kind of weird.
I did not know that.
Yes, but I want to take you back to when your wife said, "What is French onion dip?" In the South, we have a phrase, and you probably have heard me say it, any number of people say, "Oh, bless her heart." When your wife said, "What's French onion dip?" immediately I found myself saying, "Oh, bless her heart." Because that meant, "Oh, I'm sorry."
But, not meaning. But you educated her.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And because she knew what, obviously knew what, nacho cheese dip was.
Yes. And salsa's great. I mean, there's nothing to complain about there.
And she's a big fan of bean dip, too.
Yes, me too.
But I was surprised that she had never heard of the French onion dip, because to me, I always thought French onion was like the most popular of all the dips.
You know what? If we keep talking, I'm going to run downstairs to the car, pop the trunk, and get that dip out and bring it upstairs.
I'm ready to go snag a bag of Doritos myself.
Oh, my gosh. This is bad news. Okay. And I even treated myself to a cold drink during the news. I ran down to the machine and I had to put in 22 dimes to get my
Because you didn't have Joseph.
Who had Apple Pay on his phone. And he had just
held it up there. And
Well, you know what? I don't have Apple Pay either, but I actually now that with this pop machine here, I actually find when I do decide to buy one, I do make use of the spare change I have lying around at home.
Well, I also make use of the spare change that people don't take out of the machine. I got 60 cents out of the machine. I'm like, really? You just walk off and leave your quarter, your dime, whatever in the machine?
Always, I have never been that lucky.
Always check the coin area, Gabe.
I was always the person, I could not walk by a payphone that I did not stick my finger in there to see if there was any coinage that was left, which was probably stupid. Everybody does it. But occasionally, there'd be a penny or a dime, a quarter, something like that would pop up. But now you can't even find a payphone.
And Johnny's dad was the best I've ever known. He'd be walking along, and all of a sudden,
seriously,
he used to go walking around a shopping center, and he found
He came home one day and he said, look what I found. He handed me a half-carat diamond. I said, where did you get that? He said, well, I was walking along, and I walked through the Dominic's parking lot, and I saw this in the asphalt. He got down on his knees, and with his pocket knife, he dug the diamond out of the asphalt.
But he was always finding coins. One time he found a purse.
He found a coach bag. I'm like, what?
Coach bag and a diamond that must have fell off the back of a truck.
Well, the diamond had fallen off of someone and had been driven over so many times that it had impacted into the asphalt.
Oh, wow.
But the man got on his knees and dug. And so I walked in the kitchen and I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm cleaning the asphalt off this diamond I found. I'm like, what?
We were in a Borders bookstore one time and we're in the checkout line.
Yes.
And Johnny's dad is standing there. We've got books and things. And he's just looking down. And all of a sudden he reaches down and he found a rare coin.
And he walked up to the desk and he said, is this yours? And they go, I don't know. We've never seen that before. We don't carry coins here. And he's a coin collector. And he rushed home and he opened it up. And honest to God, it's a rare, rare coin, like hundreds of years old, somehow lying there in a bookstore.
Those pocket knives come in handy.
They really do. Oh, golly. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. We're into the final stretch here on WGN.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wiper slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Great Kris Kristofferson song by Janis Joplin. Janis didn't like me.
I'm sure a lot of men could say that.
Yeah.
Janis didn't like me.
Indianapolis, roughly 1970-ish. And the radio station I was at was hosting a Janis Joplin concert. And the opening act had finished, and it was time for Janis to go on. No Janis. Crowd's getting a little antsy. No Janis. I go backstage.
Because
I was emceeing. And I find Janis trying to seduce one of the maintenance men backstage, and I, as gently as I could, interrupted and said, you know, there's this crowd out there that paid lots of money, and they'd kind of like to see you. She was not happy, and that I will never forget. A couple minutes later, I introduce her. She comes out on stage. She did a short show. I could tell. And I was sitting down at the side of the stage, and she was staring daggers at me. Short show, but for that roughly 40 minutes, wow, was she incredible.
Hmm.
I mean, she just did. There was nobody like Janis.
She didn't throw a whiskey bottle at you, so you were lucky.
No, she had the whiskey bottle backstage, though.
Mm-hmm.
But even a mad Janis was still wonderful.
Yeah, magic, yes. Oh. What inspired that choice, since it was a dealer's choice, Julian?
Today would have been her 83rd birthday.
No.
Wow.
82nd birthday.
Wow.
So Janis was only a year older than I am?
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, rode hard, though.
Yeah.
You know, she just think, when she was in her 20s, she was already looking like she was, life was tough.
One of my favorite Janis songs was Try a Little Harder.
Yes.
Oh. Shoes. Oh.
Well, listener said, all right, rock on, Janis, with a bunch of peace signs.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, gosh, there's so many things that we have not been able to get to. We might be able to sneak in a little unfinished business in the next few minutes because the listener says, did I miss the business about your service call on one of your appliances? No. You did not miss it. We never got a chance to talk about it. We might sneak that in. So that and a whole lot more coming up here on WGN.
Just a little bit harder.
Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. I used to crank the speakers up to the threshold of pain every time I played that. What a great track by Janis Joplin.
That was not a, quote, hit.
No, we played a lot of album cuts.
Yeah.
And that was one of my favorites, and we got a lot of listener requests. We used to do a thing, it was called, because the frequency for the radio station was 93.1. And we did the top nine at nine, where listeners would call in requests. And
I'm laughing because the listener just texted, if you think Janis was mad at you, I have to wonder how much that maintenance guy still resents you to this day.
Well,
you interrupted them.
The other half of the story, I don't think he was interested.
Oh, wow.
Janis had a bottle with her, and as she was known to do.
Wow.
And she was really trying to come on to him, and he was kind of politely, I don't know if he was married or what, but he did not look interested, which is one of the reasons that I felt
compelled to. It was your job.
It was my job, and the crowd was getting antsy. B, when I walked back and I saw he really, you know.
So he was up against a wall trying to get away from her. And
well, he was doing his job.
Oh.
He was cleaning backstage.
What a weird story. What a sad situation.
I know.
Gosh, thanks for bringing me down.
Okay,
like
well, I'm here to help.
But here's a great text. Yes, boogie time in the laboratory. Yes, it is.
By the way, we have just realized that we've got so many things we didn't get to.
Yes.
And
well, you know, there was that little hockey game that ate up some of our show.
So this is a tease for next week.
Okay.
The repair story, we'll get to it next week.
Yes.
Julian, remind us. Repair story next week. Also, next week, we have a... Pardon me. A 9:30 start time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to throw out the quick license plate question?
I don't. Yes, because it's making me crazy. Oh well, don't say crazier. It's been bugging me all week.
I was going to say that people are probably going to shout things at their radio when we ask this question. And
the story came out over the past few weeks about the license plates, the vanity license plates that were kicked out by Janulius. You know, no, you can't have this on your license plate.
Right.
And they said these things are deemed offensive. And the number 335 was included in this list of things that are very obvious.
Julian, does that mean anything to you, or are we too dumb to know what it is?
I don't know.
335.
You don't know if we're too dumb?
I plead the fifth.
Thank you.
All right.
Seriously, I've even written 335 down to see, does it look like something?
And
it's very strange. So, maybe we'll get someone on to explain it to us. Okay, Lucy? We'll see about that next week. And on the subject of onion dip, a listener wants to know if Lipton soup is gluten-free to make onion dip. Lipton soup has wheat in it, so it is not gluten-free. That's why I said you have to be very careful if you can't assume just because, it's in the dairy department. How could it have anything that resembles gluten like wheat?
Hmm.
Well, they want to thicken it up.
Yeah.
And that's how they thicken it up. And you got to say it like that because it makes it seem more dramatic. Yes. So we're kind of all over the place right now because we're tying up loose ends.
Okay. So next week, 9:30 start time, Tom Appel will join us.
He will,
and,
yes.
And we'll talk car stuff. We have some other guests pending, but since they haven't unpended yet,
yes,
we won't tell you who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. Oh, we wanted to mention, along with everything else going on, Monday is National DJ Day.
It is. Rock is, let's see. Life is a Rock, Radio Rolled Me.
Yes.
Great DJ song.
What else do we want to mention? Again, we're on Blue Sky. Just do a search on Blue Sky for Steve and Johnny, and you will find us there. And also check out our blog, which is stevenjohnny.wordpress.com. Quite candidly, we're over the next who knows how long it will take, we're slowly going to use Facebook less and less because we're not pleased with a lot of things that Zuckerberg is doing these days.
And we could wake up one day and they could just randomly decide that we don't exist because that's happening. And there's a lot of good stuff. In fact, we do want to talk to Patrick about how we can download all of that stuff in case you do wake up one day and you're gone and you want to save those pictures that have been posted over the years and maybe some special messages and transcripts of some exchanges that you have posted on Facebook.
And also, we've noticed over the past week a number of friends of ours whose Facebook pages have been cloned.
Yes.
And we can tell by the nature of the post
This
isn't. There was a friend of ours yesterday we were looking at, and I said, this doesn't look like what she would write.
Said she's a school teacher. She's not a Bitcoin professional. And it was one post after another all about even pictures of her certificate of being a Bitcoin professional.
And saying, click here and you'll learn more about Bitcoin, blah, 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 blah.
And that was her pictures and her name and she has indicated privately that she has tried desperately to get Facebook to realize that she's been hijacked. She's been taken over.
And with Zuck having fired so many people.
Yes.
Anyhow. So, are we still on Facebook? Yeah. Are we moving away? Yeah, that's going to happen. So check us out on Blue Sky and on our blog and on our YouTube channel.
And for those of you who reminded me tonight that I did not post the chicken casserole, the chicken cobbler casserole. I didn't do it yet. I'm sorry. I will do that. We said we'd have it on our blog for those who don't follow Facebook.
Right.
And then we would link to it over on Facebook. So I promise I will get that done sometime.
But I think, oops.
Oh, see, we're running out of time already.
That's Big Plug Bob on the Zamboni.
He's got it warmed up because it's really cold out there.
And the lights are flickering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about that time for us to pitch for the last caller. So 312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last call and win some goodies from this year's radio place. If you haven't won anything within the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first, you shook your head.
I'm shaking my head at a text that just came in. Deanna, I may be dumb. And I have blonde moments, but Googling 335 for rejected license plates, that's how many plates got rejected, not a rejection in itself. Not true. I can send you three different articles that I've come across where it was listed in the article as offensive or questionable, so they were tossed out. The number 335. That's not how many were tossed out. So I'm not having one of those moments. And
yet
I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm getting very close to it because I need that French onion dip and chips and in the car.
312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller. If you choose to have something pithy to say, fine.
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
And if you're a domer, that's okay. You're welcome in here too. And you're all excited about the game. That's fine.
So 312-981-7200. We will get to our last call.
We didn't even get to tell our Sammy Sosa story.
Oh, we didn't.
Now that he's been welcomed back into the arms of the Cubs.
We won an award for covering Sama. Sama. See, I'm running out of the good words. We're running out of time.
It was
the
our
good words are-
only sports award in our over 100-year history.
Yeah.
We actually got a sports award for entering Sammy Sosa.
Sir, entering? Entering?
I'm bonding with you. I'm making you feel good.
See, this is what happened. We're in the final moments of the show. All the good words are gone.
So Sammy was in the locker room, and they had made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we got him on the phone, and we knew it was Sammy. It was for real. And
we had a great time with him.
He talked to us for a good 15, 20 minutes. It was amazing. It was amazing that we had a conversation about baseball.
Yes.
And Sammy Sosa was going along with it. And then we won an award. So, well, all right. Lot to talk about if you so choose, or you can just stop by and say hi if you're our final caller at 312-981-7200.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
It is.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
Losing time.
Get on out. So let's go.
Let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Got French dip in the car.
But you can't stay here.
Did you just sing "Got French dip in the car"?
Yeah. Well.
By the way, from the department. of corrections and clarifications, KMOX and WGN-TV both included 335 in their list of license plates. KMOX is in St. Louis, but they're doing the Illinois plates. So both of those stories, and I think that's a case of a comma was dropped or something, and they picked up the story. So I went back and I double checked, and sure enough, it is an okay number. It's 335. Bob, keeper of the big plug, tells us that's an angel number, so that wouldn't be offensive. And I do find there is a story that indicates that that was the number of things that were kicked out. So, you see, it was...
So we're blaming it on KMOX.
I'm going to blame it on them. And WGN grabbed it and ran with it. And then I got perplexed and took it to the radio. So that's...
Actually, I'm going to blame it on our former general manager, Tom Langmeier, who used to be the head honcho at KMOX and then came to WGN. So there's the connection. So it's all Tom Langmeier's fault.
Okay, we are now our last caller.
Not a moment too soon.
And we're going to say good morning to Wally. Hey, Wally.
Hey, Wally.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, this is the Wally that I just texted with?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I'm over in Zurich, Switzerland.
You are. And so we started the show talking about hearing from you. And that's when Bob said, ask him if he's, or tell him he needs to go to that fabulous little chocolate shop. And then you wrote back and said, you've been there, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And there's another one that's, I'm going to probably mispronounce it, but it's Liederich. Mm-hmm. And there's they have a location. My wife and I were in Chicago just recently, and we went to Chicago Outlet Mall, and they have a little shop right there. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
It's wonderful. But be prepared. Hold on to your wallet and make sure that your eyes aren't too big, because a piece of chocolate probably, honest to goodness, the size of like a 3x5 card is going to probably set you back $5.
Oh.
Hello.
But if it's good, it's worth it. Yeah.
It's outstanding.
So
absolutely outstanding.
When we first read your text, you say you're in Brussels, and then you're headed to Belgium. To what part of Belgium?
Well, I was in Brussels last week for work.
Okay.
And I have to be back in Brussels. Last week I was in Brussels. And this week I'm going to be in Ghent, this coming week. I'm flying back to Brussels in a couple hours, and then I'll be working in Ghent, Belgium this week, and then heading home. And home for me now is North Carolina. I used to live in Long Grove. I grew up in Des Plaines, and then lived in Mount Prospect, and then Long Grove. And then my wife and I, about 2 years ago, moved to North Carolina.
So where are you talking to us from at this
minute? From Zurich?
In Zurich. I'm in the hotel in Zurich, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Give us the picture. Looking out your window, what do you see?
So I'm just outside of the city, and I look out on a number of office buildings and condos and things like that. But interestingly, the trains, there's probably about 6 or 7 train lines that go right by here, because, again, we're just outside of Zurich. So the trains, and I was wondering about this, are almost running 24/7 here, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful trains.
What is your temperature over there?
We've been running. I've been here since Friday, and we've been running since then. It's 2 to 1. Centigrade. So like 28 to 34.
Okay.
So
winter.
The weather over here, honestly, is very similar usually, because I've spent a lot of time over here in Switzerland. The weather is almost, it's very, very close to tracking just like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Chicago. I haven't seen the sun here since, I actually got in Thursday night, but I haven't seen the sun at all Friday or Saturday.
So what time is it there if it's going on 2 o'clock a.m. here?
Yeah, almost 9 a.m. Almost 9. We're 7 hours ahead here from Chicago.
So other than candy, if we were to come over there, what is the must-see thing or must-do thing?
The trains.
Well, yeah, the trains, just to ride the trains. I mean, there's beautiful little towns just outside of Zurich. I mean, I went up north to a small town that I actually spent about 6 months in, 2018-2019. Schaffhausen is the town, and it's actually... It's a little piece of Switzerland that goes into Germany, and technically Germany is to the north, east, south, and west of it. If you look on a map and you see just a little piece of of Switzerland, that's Schaffhausen, and that's Rheinfall. So that's a beautiful thing. That's a big tourist thing. But if you come here, Steve and Johnny, you do need to get a Swiss Army knife at some point, right?
Of course.
Swiss Army knife from Switzerland is always a nice thing, right?
Of course. So can you tell us what you do for a living, or do you have to kill us if you tell us?
Yeah, No. I do operational consulting. So I'm here for meeting my client teams and also with our with suppliers. So last week we were in Brussels, and we had meetings with suppliers from Italy and from Greece. A couple of my client team members are from Brussels, which is why we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we'll have the same thing. We had three team members from the States come over, and one of And this week we'll have the same two people from Brussels and two more client team members coming over from the States.
But when you're not traveling, you are in Pinehurst, North Carolina. That's home now?
That is, yes, it is. Yes,
how did you choose Pinehurst after being in lovely Long Grove?
Oh, boy. Pinehurst is just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Is it?
I mean, any golfer is going to be salivating probably right now.
Okay.
It's a huge. I mean, we hosted the U.S. Open in June, this past June.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably have within 5 miles of my front door 25 golf courses.
Wow.
That are only open 12 months of the year.
Whoa.
But I'm never there. That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful area and a beautiful downtown. A friend who came here said Pinehurst is what Long Grove wishes they were. Sorry. It's just a beautiful, beautiful area. And it gets compared to Hallmark. Like our Christmas celebration, lighting the tree is like right out of a Hallmark movie.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Picturesque. It's so cool to actually talk to you because we've communicated via text a couple of times overnight tonight. And then I'm like, wait, this is the same Wally that I just had a text from.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Next week I'll actually be in Ghent, Belgium on Saturday morning. But
and you'll check in?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're
listening to your show, and as I've said on the text, Johnny and Steve, you guys do a phenomenal job, entertaining and also educating.
Thank you.
And you guys sound like you have a wonderful time doing this, and I've been listening to you many, 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 many years.
Yeah. still enjoy it. We love being able to come in here on Saturday night and to meet people like you. And I'm tickled that you're going to be able to wear an official WGN t-shirt. So hang on, Julie, and get all that pertinent poop about Pinehurst, North Carolina. Then when you're neck of the woods, we'll just stop by. It's that simple. We're not above that.
How many trains did he say there was?
24 hours a day they're running. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that just about does it. How cool, though, because we started off the night talking about how he was tuned in, and then we end, and it was just kind of serendipitous that he were to pop in here and be our last caller tonight.
Well, again, next week we start at 9:30, and Tom Appel will be joining us. And Julian, refresh me, 59:30?
That's correct.
Okay. So that means I need to stop talking.
But thank you all, including Julian and Gabe and Ron and Bob and anybody else that helped make this happen tonight.
We'll talk to you next week.